The human heart is an amazing design, and although we often take it for granted, it continues to beat on its own, supplying our entire body with life-sustaining blood flow. So how does this super organ work, and where does it fit in spiritually? Stay tuned. The
Bible tells us Christ can perform a bypass surgery on our corrupted heart.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. We like to associate the heart, especially on Valentine's Day, with love, jewelry, and boxes of chocolates. Well, the heart is much more complex than that, and it performs every day of the year to keep us alive. We'd love to have you join us for the next 15 minutes as we explore the heart and its functions, and take a look at its spiritual side as well. Let's get right to the heart of the matter, shall we? Exactly what is this organ we cannot live without? Dr. Alan Gillen is author of the book, Body by Design.
First of all, the heart is the world's most efficient pump. It's really a marvel of divine design and precision engineering. And although your heart is only the size of your fist on the average and weighs a mere 11 ounces, it squeezes blood through an intricate network of about 60,000 miles of blood vessels every moment of your life, pumping about 70 times per minute and 36 million times each year. In a lifetime, it literally pumps enough blood that could fill several train tanker cars up to overflowing.
Dr. Benjamin Aaron is Professor Emeritus of Surgery at George Washington University.
And the heart pumps about 6,000 quarts of blood per day. I figured in my lifetime, my heart has pumped something in the order of 150 million quarts of blood. That's a big figure. I haven't figured out how many acre feet that is, but that is a lot of work. I mean, for the people who know what work is all about, and work is basically the kinetics of moving things around, that is a lot of work, and yet the heart can do that and never tire.
And how is this pump classified? Dr. David Menton is Associate Professor Emeritus at Washington University School of Medicine.
The heart is a muscle. It's a very special kind of muscle that can repeatedly squeeze all day and all night without giving it so much as a single thought. Imagine if we had to think about contracting our heart. That would mean 70 times every minute on average, and faster when we were exercising. We would have to think, now it's time to contract, now it's time to relax. And the heart does this all automatically. In fact, the heart itself is extraordinary.
Dr. Benjamin Aaron tells us of the heart's sole duty.
The heart does one thing, and that is pumps blood. That's the only thing it does, really. And yet to do that, the Lord has put together a complex array of various physiologic substances to make all this happen. The heart is composed of a muscle, purely and simply a muscle, which is actually closely related to the muscle in your arm or your leg. That is, it's what we call striated muscle. But it's a special kind of striated muscle that doesn't fatigue, which is kind of interesting. And if you stop and think about it, the heart pumps its own blood supply.
Indeed, without the heart, we could not survive.
If the heart stops beating in 3 seconds, you will become unconscious or very close to it. 3 seconds. In the space of 3 minutes of no circulation, that is your heart not beating, you probably will experience, in a normal setting, you probably would experience brain death or close to it. So the heart's function is second by second and minute by minute affair.
The heart starts beating at about 3 weeks after conception, and from then on, it will work on its own.
The heart is living tissue, of course, and it has some peculiar characteristics. One is, if you take the heart out of the body and just put it in a pot of water, it'll beat for a while, which says this. It says that the heart contracts just by its very nature. It has its own built-in electrical system. But that electrical system is actually what we call specialized heart muscle. So it's the heart regulating itself.
Amazingly, this also happens with the cells of the heart as well. Dr. Menton.
If you take a heart and you remove some of the cells from the heart and you grow them in tissue culture in a dish, you know, as separate cells, the individual heart muscle cells beat in and of themselves. And it's kind of intriguing. If these heart muscle cells are growing in a dish, they'll all beat to their own little drummer, you might say. They're all beating at a different rate. But as soon as one heart muscle cell touches another heart muscle cell, it makes a special electrical contact, and then all of the touching heart muscle cells beat in synchrony.
So how does this incredible muscle work? Dr. Aaron explains.
The heart basically does all its physiologic work during diastole, when it's resting. A lot of people don't appreciate it. A lot of people think the heart is working when it's contracting. But in point of fact, the work the heart does during contraction is almost like an explosion, and that it really girds itself, builds up its strength during that brief period when it's not contracting. I would liken it, say, to drawing the bow on an arrow. The drawing of the bow occurs during diastole, and the letting loose of the arrow is systole. That's when the heart contracts. And the arrow, in this case, is the blood being ejected from the heart. The heart does its kinetic work, that is, the work of movement of blood during that period when it's contracting. When it's relaxing and filling with blood, that's when it does all of its physiologic work, and that's when it rests, that's when it regains its energy, because the heart, for the most part, expends its energy with one contraction.
And how does the blood circulate? Dr. Menton.
When the oxygen poor blood comes back from the body, it doesn't go to the left side of the heart, it goes to the right side. And then the right side pumps it out to the lungs, and when the blood comes back from the lungs laden with its oxygen, it doesn't go to the right side of the heart from which it came, it goes to the left side so that it can be pumped out to the body. So only in this way are we able to get oxygenated blood that has been through our lungs to circulate then through our whole body.
There are so many references to the heart in the scriptures. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and many, many more. So is the heart more than just a life-sustaining pump? Dr. Aaron.
The heart is probably the most talked about organ in the Bible, and yet the Bible never talks about the physiology of the heart. The heart is always portrayed from the standpoint of being the seat of emotions, morality, and that sort of thing. As Christ said, you're to worship God with your heart and your mind and your soul. And he doesn't mean with your beating heart. He means with the heart, which is the center of you, which is where you live passionately as a person. That's your heart in the Bible.
But is there some sort of bond between the physical and the spiritual heart?
I really think that God has made this connection between your physical body and your mind and your soul, your spirit. I think he's made that so tight and so interwoven that you can't experience things of God without affecting the various parts of your body and primarily your heart.
And this would include the moving of the Holy Spirit inside of a Christian's heart.
God has put that feeling there. And I think that's why you experience it, I've experienced it. And it's one of the most profound feelings I've ever had in my lifetime when God entered my life. And I would wager that probably just about every born-again Christian can tell you that same thing.
Since the heart is the center of our being, what about heart transplants? Would any of the donor's feelings transfer over to the recipient? Dr. Aaron says no.
When you receive a heart, you're receiving a pump. You're still you, but that pump becomes inculcated into your being, just as your own heart is in your own being. Now, admittedly, because it's, in essence, foreign tissue, that has to be worked upon throughout the lifetime of that heart that's been transplanted so that your body doesn't reject it. God has put you together such that your body doesn't readily accept tissue that's not yours. But the actual fact of the matter is, as you feel today, if you had a heart transplant tomorrow, you wouldn't feel any different.
Just as our physical heart can become defective and need treatment, such is the case with our spiritual heart as well. Dr. Gillen.
The Bible tells us that we have a heart problem, even though we were originally created to have fellowship with God and have a clean heart, because man has sinned and disobeyed God, we end up having a corrupted heart, kind of like some people have coronary artery disease.
But there's good news.
Even though the wages of sin is death, there is a gift that we can receive of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible basically tells us that Christ can perform a bypass surgery on our corrupted hearts. Christ can take that corrupted heart, that heart disease, if you will, and go around that clog, if you will, in our relationship with God the Father, and through the cross and what he's done there in his death on the cross, he bypasses that for us. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in Romans 10:10, the Bible tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Thanks for joining us for today's timely broadcast on the design of the heart. To let you know about today's special free offer, we now present a touching Valentine's Day love story entitled, If You Love Her, Let Her Read.
You know, Jan, we've been engaged for 3 years now. I think it's about time I start getting you better gifts for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I don't know, Joe. That handheld can opener you got me last year was just dandy.
No, I mean it. So this year, I got you something of lasting value.
Lasting value?
That's right.
Me?
Lasting value.
Oh, no, you couldn't have.
Yes, I could. Here you go.
It's a booklet.
That's right. The Scientific Case Against Evolution. I got it for free from ICR. It shows how evolution is not a science, but a religion. And Dr. Henry Morris uses direct quotes from evolutionists themselves to prove his point. Don't you just love it?
Joe, honestly, this is the best thing that you've ever given me.
Yeah?
And now I'm going to give you something really special, too.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Your freedom! Goodbye!
But Jan, honey. No, wait, let's read it together under the moonlight, please, honey pie.
To get your free copy of The Scientific Case Against Evolution, to keep or give away, if used as a gift for a special occasion, we highly suggest it be an added bonus to your original gift, not just simply given alone. Just call 1-800-7-GENESIS. Again, that's 1-800-7-GENESIS. It's yours for the asking. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800, the number 7, and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.